Warning! The following is intended for mature audiences. It includes references to the use of illicit substances as well as crude humor. Listener discretion is advised.
If we're on an Earth that has your name in the name of one of its cities...
I must be an important person?
I'm guessing that everyone's Johnny Dim here.
That must be it. We're in the Johnny Dim universe. Everyone's Johnny Dim.
Hey, look over there.
What? What's going on?
That mob. They're not you.
No.
But they are coming this way.
Is that Johnny?
They're breaking onto a run.
I think that's Johnny!
It's really...
Johnny!
No, hold on. No, they look pretty frantic. I'm very uncomfortable.
Johnny, run!
Go! Come on! Run!
What are we gonna do now?
Let's go!
Let's take... Look, it's Edge of Blade. Maybe he can tell us something.
Johnny!
Hey, Johnny!
What the hell? What is going on?
I don't know. You're usually followed by mobs like this. I thought you'd be used to it by now.
Jason, keep up!
I'm coming, all right, jeez.
Okay, this is obviously not the Jason from Mario Earth. So, why are they following us?
Well, I mean, dude, you're kind of famous.
Okay, we can talk about it later. Where's the safe place?
Hang two rights up here. Let's go back to the Warlock's Tower.
The Warlock's Tower? Okay!
Meanwhile, at the Warlock's Tower...
Wow, this is amazing.
I'm confused. Why is there a Warlock's Tower?
Well, Johnny's totally famous. I mean, he assembled a group of all-star podcasters.
Check out that giant painting of me fighting a bull.
That's no bull. That's a space station. I'm sorry, I can never turn it off.
Good to know that the Zach in my universe is exactly like you.
Speaking of which, where is the Johnny from this universe?
We haven't seen him for a few weeks now.
Let me guess. There was a mission at Dimmsdale, and he left.
Yes, how'd you know?
That's exactly what happened on our Earth.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but check out what this fridge is full of beer! This is amazing!
We'll let him go have fun. Did your Zach Nanimous leave to go find him?
Yeah, he did. It was rather flustered when he went to go find him. I was kind of worried he was going off his rocker.
And he's not back yet.
No, definitely off his rocker by now. Definitely off his rocker.
They're probably both dead.
Oh.
Look, a ping pong table.
Hey, Johnny.
Yeah?
Hey, you want to give up on Death of Dim and just stay here?
Fuck yeah!
Welcome to Earth 2 America. I'm Zach Nanimous.
I'm Johnny Dim.
I'm Edge of Blade, I think.
And you've just stepped into the War Pod. That's not how we start this show. Tonight, we are going to be talking about May the 4th. I know we're late to the dance. I don't care. I consider this month just Star Wars month. We're going to talk about the new Assassin's Creed jet lag, I believe. We're going to
Syndicate. And don't forget, we will be podcasting live at Comic Palooza Saturday, May 23rd, between 4 and 5 p.m. We will be doing some giveaways, and we'll be interacting with you, our fans, so come and check us out, and hopefully we'll have a guest or something. I don't know. What's going to happen, Zach?
As far as guests are concerned, if you stop by, there is a great chance that you are actually going to be on the show.
Yeah.
So stop by, because, you know, as always, we love our warriors, and we want to see you, and we want you to be on the show. We want to give you free things. A pudding cup, maybe a fruit roll-up, maybe a fruit by the foot, maybe a cup of pudding.
So you went from Zach to KGB agent to Godfather.
I heard a little bit of...
Mark Twain.
Is that what that was?
No.
No, I heard a little bit of Bill Cosby in there.
Okay.
You have to go more rapscallion to... Pull off Tom Twain. Mark.
Bottom line, warriors, we want to go steady.
Okay, I gotta finish this. We're gonna go into the Steam Box debate.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna talk about George Lucas wanting the Star Wars 7, to be about teens, possibly tweens.
Are you sure it wasn't about like old people who would call things like the Google?
The Google?
Yeah, they call Google the Google. They call it the Star Wars.
It's kind of like when you
say... Or the Star Trek.
Kind of like when you say, I want my MTV.
Yeah.
I don't want your MTV. I want my MTV.
Well, people who are saying that are now old.
Sorry, that's a Kimmy Schmidt thing. And we're going to talk about our top three things we would like at Comicpalooza of all time. But first, May the 4th, because normally I have a last thing here. Okay, so my question to you guys is, this is something we didn't get to talk about when David was on.
Right.
How did you guys celebrate May the 4th? Or, you know, just Star Wars month in general.
Go ahead, Jason.
How did I celebrate May 4th? Well, I did try to indoctrinate my daughter into, you know, the dark side of the Force. We haven't decided. My wife and I are trying to decide which side of the Force we're going to represent, and we're going to both try to pull her in opposite directions.
Oh, absolutely.
She's definitely more of a Sith witch type person.
Cool.
So Sith witch.
That sounds like a sandwich someone should.
That should happen, yeah.
It should be deep fried like a Monte Cristo.
Yes, it should.
Absolutely.
Lettuce leads to tomato. Tomato leads to salami. Salami leads to a toasted bun.
Sorry. I love it.
That was almost Kermit. That was almost a little more Kermit than it was Yoda.
Nearly.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're celebrating this month by indoctrinating your daughter into whether the dark side or light side.
Right. She's going full on with the blast shield right now. Hopefully she's not going to cough an arm or something. That would be very tragic at this point.
Absolutely.
I thought you said cough in her armor. Or smallpox a big problem in your house? So, okay, assuming that you're a Sith Lord. Assuming that you're the Sith, what are you going to do to corrupt the peace that your wife will try to bring to your daughter?
I'm going to train her to cry for no reason.
Does she do that now?
No, she doesn't, actually.
There's always a reason.
To be perfectly honest, she's been very good about that.
Good.
My suggestion, you can do whatever you want with your daughter. You can't do whatever you want with your daughter. That was a low blow.
Jesus.
I can't. I have to be censored constantly on the show lately. What I would do is I would do finger paints, okay? And just let her, like, slap a piece of paper and, like, then make a shrinky dink out of it. So, like, these will be, like, impressions of her rage.
Ooh, that'd be nice. I figure, like, instead of doing, like, you know, a hand turkey, you draw a line around your hand and make a turkey out of it. She'll put her hand down, and then I'll come in and draw lightning bolts coming out of her hand.
That I like. I like that one.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what's your daughter's name? I've never asked.
My daughter's name is Arya.
Arya? Okay.
Arya Lane Danforth.
How would you feel about getting her Zusu pets? Getting her five of them. So that's Arya's fist.
You're talking about the little hamsters that run around in the track.
Yeah,
right?
But you'd all get the ninja version. So they're all in like black hoods and stuff.
And they would be they'd be her minions.
Yeah, it's a reference
her
to
minions.
To
I get it.
Fist.
I get it now.
It was five particular pilots, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was his high
session. The hamsters.
You don't know about the hamsters?
I know about the Emperor's, was it Emperor's fist? The Emperor's
it's
hand?
Vader's fist.
Emperor's hand, right?
Probably.
It's Vader's fist, Emperor's hand.
Okay.
Okay.
Han Solo's chest. <There we go. laughs> Which is actually Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Which means that Han needs to shave.
Right. Doesn't need to. You didn't have to.
How did you celebrate May the 4th?
I didn't.
Channy?
I didn't at all.
That's right, you don't like Star Wars.
It's not that I don't like Star Wars.
It's not that I don't like Star Wars. It's that I don't like sci-fi.
No, I'm not. I don't dislike Star Wars. I'm just not a fan of Star Wars. Although I still am excited about the movies. I don't know how you could be a living American person and not be excited for Star Wars, the next movie.
# Black Stormtrooper.
Again?
Those people, they're not happy.
Still?
I'm just saying, you asked, and that's how. I'm excited for # Black Stormtrooper.
I know you are. I know you are, because you're... Never mind, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
I know you are because you're accepting, but we don't like that on the war pod.
It was funny, I've heard some people recently, and I kind of in the same boat with these people that I've listened to. But their point was that the... May the 4th has become kind of a weird thing. Like, it's not as fun anymore as it used to. It's a little kind of, it's kind of really big.
I think everyone's jumped on the bandwagon. I think that's...
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that from a hipster point of view, that I liked Star Wars before it was popular. Before it was popular.
It's natural.
It's just layers of popular at that point.
Yeah.
No, it's... everyone just kind of spouts off a May the 4th be with you kind of half-heartedly.
Yeah.
Which brings me to an important point. Everyone jumped on the bandwagon of Revenge of the 5th. It is not Revenge of the 5th.
It's the 6th.
It's Revenge of the 6th.
Yes, it is.
Now, but the worst part of this is that Disney is the one who made this mistake.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Of course they did.
Well, they were probably just trying to create a new dynasty, so it was going to be like Return of the 18th.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I get the perspective that, you know, that it's less fun lately, because I feel like it's like any other holiday where it is what you make of it. I know I celebrated it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think from your point of view, I think a full disclosure here, you're cool with any escalation in Star Wars popularity because that's your religion.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually...
Are you an observant Jedi?
No, actually, I worship LucasArts. I have a I have a shrine that I have made to George Lucas that I made out of a Furby and some leftover flannel.
This doesn't sound so accurate.
So what do you say to the, you know, Star Wars, to the atheistic, there is no Star Wars people who are saying that LucasArts is dead?
LucasArts is dead. Well, that the death of LucasArts is actually detailed in an event in our scripts called the Fan-Narok, where all Star Wars fans die, and that just hasn't happened yet. So, checkmate, atheists.
Checkmate, indeed.
we'll wait another 1,000 years and see if the rest of the prophecy comes to pass.
Okay.
How did you celebrate, Zach?
I watched one of the mini Phantom edits.
And I knew I'd heard about this before, but you had mentioned it, you know, uh-huh, that you were celebrating it that way the day of. I think you Facebooked it or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I'd heard about it, but I had forgotten what it was, so I went and looked it up. But essentially what it is the first, the episodes 1 through 3 edited down, and almost all of them completely cut out the entire first movie except for the last fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
Which I found really interesting.
Yeah, that was the part that I had the most trouble with, because you need at least some context, some first-hand context.
You need to have some understanding of galactic politics and the taxation of trade routes.
No, you can cut that. You can cut that. What I'm saying is that you need some context for, like, the circumstance of Anakin's birth, why he's considered to be... Because his birth is odd. He had no father.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm.
Like Jesus.
Like Jesus. And so he was literally made of the Force, and that more than anything else they said about his midichlorians being off the scale and anything like that, that more than anything else sets the tone for, okay, this kid is special. And so you needed at least a little bit of that.
Okay, I'm actually going to pull up something here. So there was some source material, there was another book that came out that was about Darth Plagueis.
Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Right. And there was a whole book about this. And there was a lot of insinuation early on that Anakin was supposed to be the result of an experiment,
uh-huh,
to basically create him. And it's funny you would mention the Jesus aspect to the whole story, because there's conflicting evidence about Jesus being a plot of the Roman government.
Ah.
So there's a very interesting parallel there.
That is interesting.
However, this book actually takes that and completely crushes it by saying that because Darth Plagueis was manipulating the dark side of the Force so strongly, that there was a rubber band effect. And that the light side of the Force conceived Anakin as a result.
Oh.
Which makes Anakin's fall even more significant. That the dark side really got big points on that one.
Yeah.
Now, was this one of these novels that was completely trashed and thrown away because they got rid of the...
That is a very interesting question.
What?
They're not trashed. Just like Marvel, there's two canons. There's a movie canon and an extended universe canon.
Well, they're
right,
like the legacy canon.
Right, well, yeah. What's interesting, though, is that unlike Marvel, Star Wars, the original, and what people seem to be the truer form of Star Wars, is cinematic. And it's not in written form.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think in these situations, both Marvel and in Star Wars, I think that the originals often are held up higher, to a higher regard by the true fans, in air quotes. So.
I don't know. I'd consider myself, like, almost at the true fan status for Marvel, just because I don't sink a lot of money into comic books.
Yeah.
So I'm almost there, and I have a sort of... Are you voguing over there?
No, keep going.
Now, I'm going to use this word. It is too strong, but I'm going to use it anyway. I would say that I have a fairly good... a fairly well-developed reverence for the 616 universe and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and actually a lot of shades of gray in between. And, you know, I think that the casual fan, and Twitter, correct me if I'm wrong, I would say that the casual fan is more interested in the movie canon.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, comics are a much smaller market. There's no denying that.
Right.
So, you know, it's what people see the most that they're going to invest the most in.
Right.
So, I would say that you're going to have that problem when you're going between cinema and any written material.
Yeah.
Is that people are going, by and large, people are going to have a preference for what happens in the movies.
And there's often a divide between written material and cinematic material, just because it just feels more comfortable if they're more closely the same. And that's why people get uproarious about books not being, or movies not being like books and stuff like that.
They're completely different genres. I've never felt that way.
I do, and I've never felt stronger about it that it can be done than from the example of the Watchmen, because that was almost page by page the exact same story, almost, and that was super comfortable with me. It felt very awesome. I loved it.
I won't go into it right now, but have you ever done a comparison between Sin City, the original graphic novel, and the movie?
I haven't, but I felt like that was a good representation, at least enough in aesthetic.
If you go back and look at it, it's almost frame for frame.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And with comic books, because they are a visual media, that is simpler. The divide for me comes in books. For example, one of my favorite examples is actually in The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
In the movie, you just see all the problems associated with Princess Buttercup. It just happens in front of you, as it would linearly if you were looking at it. However, when you read the book, before Wesley fights anyone, you get their backstory. Like, it cuts away into something that's the length of an entire chapter.
Yeah.
And that's something you just cannot do in a movie.
No, that's very hard to do in a movie. Yeah. There are divides like that where it's just not possible.
Mm-hmm. One movie I've seen that actually did that was Kill Bill.
Yeah, it did over two movies, though.
Well, yeah, I know. And again, we're still waiting for, like, the super cut of Kill Bill to come out someday.
Oh, like the one full movie?
They call it the whole bloody... something.
Yeah.
But when they go into Oren Ishii,
okay,
they actually cut away for a significant chunk. They have their anime portion in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And that's one instance where they actually went out and did that. But again, this is Quentin Tarantino. That was more of a, you know, schlocky art house kind of film that of course went mainstream.
Right.
But there's a great example of that actually happening in movies.
Oh yeah. Anyway.
And that example sucks. Hey, Edge of Blade?
Yeah.
Is this an intercom?
Yeah, just push a button.
Okay. Well, okay, I'm not wearing headphones, but someone's talking to me. Is this in my head?
Yeah. This is pretty basic technology. You don't have that where you came from?
It's tingly. Oh, by the way, a Dan Starkey is coming in for a scheduled interview.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, look, there's a video. You can see him at the front door.
Oh.
That's Strax, the guy from Doctor Who.
How do you recognize him, dude?
I'm a Whovian. I guess, let him in?
Yeah, let's talk to him, see what's up.
Yeah.
Santar Ha America and the UK. I'm Zach Nanimus.
I'm Johnny Dim.
I'm Edge of Blade.
And I'm Dan Starkey, also known as Commander Strax.
And you've just tuned into a very special interview on Warlocks because, yes, we do have the one, the only, Dan Starkey! Ah!
Hello.
Sorry, we get very excited. Jason, I understand you had some questions for Mr. Starkey.
Right. And, you know, this is a pretty common question. Anytime you talk to an actor who plays a character who's heavily made up, the first question you want to ask is, how much time does it take to make the look of Strax and or any other Sontaran that you're portraying?
Yeah, well, it's a fair old investment of time. It takes altogether as a process about 3 hours, just above 3 hours. And quite a lot of that is sitting in the chair and having Strax's head glued onto mine. And it's got to be fairly sort of tightly glued on because it moves in response to my facial movements. And then the rest of the suit, it depends what suit I'm wearing, because as you might know, Strax has two costumes, one of which is a blue battle suit, and the other one is a butler costume. And the butler costume, because it's made of cloth, takes less time to get on. There's a little bit of a clue in the name as to why clothes are made of cloth. It makes it a lot easier. Whereas the blue battle suit is sort of made of a silicon foam rubber. And I have a pair of rubber trousers that it takes two people to literally hoist me into with a lot of talcum powder. And that can take up to 10 minutes. So, yeah, it's quite an involved process.
Yeah, and when you're talking about the pieces of the face, that's one of the things I noticed is that it gives you so much expressiveness.
Yeah.
And one of the just trademarks I love of Strax is when he smiles, you can just see the adrenaline pumping through his head, and you know he is having a great time with whatever it is he's doing.
I'm so glad that that his head pumping is conveyed. It's a movie.
I think that might be chlorophyll.
Yes. carry on.
Sorry, I just want to say that rubber trousers have not gone out of style over here.
No, excellent. Yes, I'm glad to hear it. If I ever go scuba diving, I'm sure they'll come into their own. Yeah.
They save many a comforter.
yes.
One thing I was interested in asking you, because we actually have a lot of performers who are fans of the show, and I was wondering how exactly you got into being part of Doctor Who.
Well, it was just the usual process of sort of, I think I gave my agent a prod at the right time, just completely sort of randomly. I was having a chat with her and I sort of mentioned, oh yeah, I'd really love to be on Doctor Who. And I think it coincided with when, I don't know if they'd already cast Chris Ryan as the other Sontaran in the first story that I did, but he's also of a similar height to me. And I think the production team had made it a conscious decision to make them quite small and compact. So, yeah, the fact that I'm 5'2" was definitely a point in my favour. They were looking for someone specifically with my build, which is quite an important thing when you've got, when they're designing a new creature. But no, I mean,
there goes my next question.
Yes. But no, it was just simply kind of like give my agent a prod at the right time, and then it's like going on to the audition. And then, yeah, they gave me a couple of scenes from an earlier draft of the story. And so I did one quite straight read to show that I am a proper actor. Not a squealing fan who's won a competition. And I went, okay, that's nice. Yeah, could you make him a bit more alien? And so I went, right, okay, how far can I go with this? And then, will this do? That's this kind of Sontaran voice came out. And then luckily they liked that, so that was fine. And also the fact that I was a massive Doctor Who fan when I was a kid, that was also helpful too, because I think there's a sort of shorthand then that you can actually sort of appreciate what's going on.
I just have to say, when you said prodded your agent at the right time, I imagined you two in the office in silence, and you just pull up a sonic screwdriver. It's like, okay, I get it.
That's not prod, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so my question, my next question was going to be that Strax is a rather diminutive character in how tall you actually are. So you say 5'2".
Yes.
And... So it kind of leads into this other question I had. Comparing, say, Doctor Who to Star Trek.
Yeah.
I always compare the Sontarans to be like the Klingons of Doctor Who. But they're a lot more proper and they're just downright British by comparison.
Yes. Yeah.
That is their word. You do not get to use it.
And I always compared it to like an angry potato versus a rotten potato. The makeup's very similar to me in that aspect. But I did want to ask, and I think Zach may have a similar question, is how you arrived at the ludicrous pacing of Strax.
Well, I mean, I think I'm guided by the script, really. I mean, when they came back in the first episode, the David Tennant episode they were in, they were written quite straight, except there was a division in between the two, sort of like the two sort of lead Solentaran characters now that I played and Chris Ryan played General Stahl. General Stahl was more of a was more of a strategist, and he was still equally pompous and blustering, but he wasn't as you know, he was much more sort of a cerebral and a strategist, whereas I played Commander Skor, who was just really enjoying his work and sort of like shooting new units. I was going, this isn't war, this is sport, and was just very excited. And then when I got the script for A Good Man Goes to War, it was very interesting reading that, because the character did sort of leap off the page. And obviously Stephen Moffat, you know, the thing is, before he wrote Doctor Who, he created various sitcoms on British television. So he's got a very good line in actually writing compact, very sayable, very sort of like witty dialogue. So, you know, reading that thinking, okay, this could potentially be very funny. So then it was my job to actually sort of bring that character to life. And, you know, going, I mean, when I first did the Solentarans, I got my old VHS copy of The Time Warrior, the 1970s Doctor Who episode that the Solentarans first appeared in. So I went back to the source with that because I got it for Christmas when I was about 11 or so. So it's kind of quite absorbed as to what the classic version of the characters are like. And there's always been that slightly kind of ludicrous sort of dimension to them, but Stephen's definitely foregrounded it with Strax, and then I ran with it. So it's great. But it all basically comes from the script. But I've been sort of like playing Strax now for long enough that I think I know things, and I think I know his voice. So you know, even though there's not that much ad libbing that really sort of goes on, just through sort of just because the scripts have to fit a certain length. It's got to be a 45-minute episode, and so they tend to sort of they occasionally leave stuff in, but it tends to be sort of quite tightly constrained by what's in the script, what actually goes on screen. But yeah, I think I know Strax now. So yeah,
Zach, I think you have a question about what he knows about Strax.
I was just going to comment that the writing for sitcoms explains the breasts.
Yes.
That's very situational comedy right there.
Magnificent quantities of lactic fluid.
Yeah, he's.
I'm sorry, that was my favorite line of his.
That's the line when I read that and thought, okay, people are going to remember this one. And certainly, it's great just when you know, because you initially have a first read through where everyone's sort of sitting around the table and reading the script, and it's great when it has a good reaction in the room, and then you sort of think, okay, well, that's a good place to start from. And I think at least every time that, you know, we're on set and we're sort of doing, you know, rehearsing lines before we start shooting, Strax's lines usually sort of cause a ripple among the crew to make things laugh. So
it sounds like that's a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it is a long day, and it's physically quite demanding because the suit is not the most comfortable of things. But the fact that I'm doing fun stuff and I get to sort of shoot guns and I get to do stunts, you know, I never thought in my class of my graduating class at drama school that I would be the kind of one who does all the action hero stuff on screen. But that's kind of how it's panned out with Strax, so it's great.
Yeah, Zach, it looks like we got about a minute left. So if you want to ask one more question.
I do, actually. I wanted to ask your plans for Comic Palooza.
Well, I'm looking forward to I'm getting there about a day early just to try and adjust my body to the central time. But no, I'm just looking forward, and I think all these events, you can't really prepare for it because they're usually pretty surreal.
Yes.
in the nicest possible way. So I look forward to sort of like sharing a green room with various illustrious representatives of different franchises. But and hopefully I'm going to have a chance to look around Houston afterwards as well. So it'll be fantastic.
Very cool. Anything else on the horizon for you?
Ooh, as soon as I get back to London, I'm taking part in the 50-hour London Improvathon. So I should be doing at least a day on stage during that. And then I'm back to the States the week after, going to Fanboy Expo at Knoxville, Tennessee. So it's all go.
Very cool. Guys, don't forget, if you are down at Comic Palooza, 22nd through the
25th.
I never know. 22nd for the 25th. Keep your peepers open for Dan Starkey. He's going to be there. Thank you so much for coming out on the show. We really enjoyed having you.
Lovely to be here. Cheers.
All right. And we will see you in a couple of weeks. Well, next week, actually.
Next week. Yeah.
Very cool.
Okay, great.
All right, now I think it's time to say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Adios.
Bye.
I guess we can just eject you back to London. Okay, bye!
Bye, Dan!
That was quick.
I didn't know this would actually work.
Either way. Another thing that I kind of wanted to talk about was, you know what? Forget everything else. We're going to talk about Comic Palooza. No, even more important.
What's more important?
Contractually obligated Comic Palooza thing. Johnny.
Yeah.
What do we have to do to keep our luxurious status with Comic Palooza?
Just say we love you, Comic Palooza.
All we have to do is mention Comic Palooza at this point. There's no giveaways. There's nothing.
No, we only had the one giveaway.
Okay.
And congratulations to Christina F, who won that. What?
So it sounds like an insult.
Because I said Christina F?
Yeah, Christina F.
No, it's not. She was
like F commas Christina, then that's something else.
She was super excited to receive the tickets, and she said she would actually drop by during our live broadcast, it's a live recording of during Comic Palooza.
Super cool.
Yeah, I want to talk to her. She seemed really cool.
Yeah, I guess we'll see you there, and so there's no...
There will be a commercial at the end of this episode.
Okay.
So if you're interested in finding out more about Comic Palooza, you can do that then.
Is there no
tickets? We should announce that.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, you're actually absolutely right on that. Now, it is confirmed and announceable now, finally, about the Space City Nerd unofficial Comic Palooza after parties, which are Friday and Saturday during the convention, which is going to be the 22nd and the 23rd. And those will actually have live performances from Crunkwitch is one of them.
Not Sithwitch?
No, I'm sorry. That's his cousin. So Crunkwitch, and then I know Josh Crow will be performing at one of them, and I believe Johnny Hackenslash will be performing at one of them.
Cool, mm-hmm. Cool.
And there might be one or two others I'm missing out, and I apologize to those people, but my memory's...
Is Broken Satellite stopping by?
I don't think so. You know what? I'm going to look. I'm going to make this... a thing. Hold on.
Let's search!
Yeah.
Go on to facebook.com, be Johnny Dim. Go to his personal Facebook page.
Don't do that.
Johnny, is that boobs?
No comment.
Those are rippling captain pecs. That's what those are.
Our friend Rob Zip took a picture with some guy that's wearing a blazer with nothing under it.
Nice man tits.
Yeah. Events. So they're transitioning the I don't know if you guys are following the Betacon.
Cute, really cute.
Yeah.
I gave up.
I'm over the moon for this.
Yeah. You're on moon drugs is what you are.
I'm seriously, I'm over the moon. I'm over the whole moon thing.
Okay, so Friday is going to be Crunkwitch, Ryan Wells, and Josh Crow. And Saturday they're going to have a best costume contest ever. Special guests and surprises. So those have not been announced who the special guests are. Last year Last year we had Miltos, guy on Game of Thrones.
Miltos Voorhees, yes.
Yeah, the sword dancer guy. Voorhees. No, it's not.
why don't
Johnny Hackenslash and DJ? Is that Angie's List or Angie List?
Angeliste.
Angeliste.
DJ Angie's List.
Yeah, DJ's Angie's List.
We connect you with music you can trust. Christian rap.
So anyway, those going on. But what they're doing this year, because last year we had to turn a lot of people away because they were so damn crowded. They were at capacity and beyond.
And we definitely don't like doing that because Comic Palooza is having their own party. So because you're going to choose ours first, if unfortunately you make it too late, then there's also great Comic Palooza stuff to have.
Absolutely. But to help some people get into the party... What we've done is created a golden ticket promotion type of thing where there's a limited number of golden tickets that up to 11 p.m. On, I think it's just Saturday, but I think it might be Friday too, but I think it's mostly Saturday, because Saturday is the one that's going to be really crowded. You can get in, you can skip the line, you can go straight into the party up to 11 p.m. with the golden ticket. Each golden ticket allows you to bring one guest, so it's you and whoever else. And we have two pairs of those. Well, I say pair. What? What am I doing?
Nothing. I'm just excited.
Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to stop me.
That was a real knee slapper. I never slap my own knees.
Oh. Okay, so throughout this party, are we going to slowly eliminate one golden ticket holder at a time and their plus one?
And their families.
We absolutely should. Turn one into... Is paint one randomly blue?
Yes.
Just dump a bucket of blue paint on it.
And the most important question is, what does the last golden ticket holder get? If they survive to the end of the party.
Well, I couldn't spoil that part.
This is under the headline of surprises.
Yes.
You know, by contrast, I was going to say the most important question is, how do you win one?
Right now, you can go on Twitter and tweet us at Warlocks Brew and tell us what you're looking forward to at Comic Palooza. We're going to choose either the most creative or most interesting answers.
Based upon the following criteria. References to Dubai. How many times you've seen Schindler's List as authenticated by your Twitter account, hashtag most list Schindler time. Also, your net worth. Only the richest will win.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
if you get this ticket, you are the 1%.
Yes. And you're only eligible to win if you've seen Space Jam in the last 2 months.
On VHS.
On VHS, yes.
No, but all you gotta do is tweet at us at Warlocks Brew. Don't forget to mention the golden hashtag golden ticket.
No. Just tweet at us and just use at Comic Palooza in it and explain what you're looking forward to in Comic Palooza. That's it.
And the most creative one will win.
Yep. Or the ones that makes us laugh the most.
Yes.
Or tickles me in all the right places.
Speaking of Comic Palooza, I'm getting a message in from the mental intercom again, and there's actually another guest of Comic Palooza that wants to have an interview.
Again?
Yeah.
All right, who is it?
It's the folks from Project Armageddon.
Actually, that's... All right, let them in.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do this.
Interview start!
Welcome to Ragnarok, America.
There you go.
I'm Zach Nanimus.
I'm Johnny Dim.
I'm Doomstress Alexis.
I'm Brandon Johnson.
We are Project Armageddon.
That's right. We're sitting here with Project Armageddon, who is going to be joining the Fabulous Thousands in Houston for the once annual, many times annual.
Yeah.
How many times has it happened?
Five.
Five. The five times annual Comic Palooza. You guys are actually performing there, right?
Yes, May 24th. So Sunday evening, May 24th at
Comic
Palooza.
It's a lot of volume because our tech sucks.
May 24th!
Okay, yes. And so that's going to be the...
The Sunday night.
That's the Sunday night?
Yes.
Beautiful. Okay, so just for anybody who listens to the show who hasn't heard you guys before, just give us your slate, tell us what your band's all about, what you do.
We're old school metal, on the verge of doom metal meets old metal, and we're power trio. I do bass and vocals, Brandon plays guitar, and then Raymond plays drums, and we just get up there and we just lay it down.
Nice. Speaking of, where is Raymond?
Work, probably.
Work or family issues.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, can you be Raymond for this interview?
No. Definitely.
It's hard
not
to get him out for a non-show that we're playing and stuff, so he's got a lot of commitments, so...
That's cool.
I just blew all my commitments off. I just go to where I want to go. So, do what I want to do. I do as the Doomstress does.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned old school rock. And
metal.
Huh?
There's
metal.
A difference, all right? Yeah. It's metal.
Okay.
Yeah.
To a degree. To a degree, there is a difference.
Yes.
And I would, what I said the first time that I heard you guys was, like, I literally said to myself the word refreshing. Like, no joke, because it felt so much like a part of music that you don't get a lot anymore. It felt very, it almost felt 80s, you know, in a very, very, very good way. I don't want to say, your old hat. Give up.
No, we get that a lot. Like, a lot of, like, the, 70s style metal and early 80s style metal, so for sure. So, big influences on us.
Yeah. Okay, so you would say that's the intention?
Oh, yeah. Well, we play what we like,
yeah.
And we like our influences, so that just comes out in our music.
Exactly.
Cool. Any by name that you want to talk about?
Of course, Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, stuff along those lines. We get compared to a mixture of Black Sabbath and Rush. I'll take it.
That. Yeah,
so,
I can see that.
Very cool.
I just realized how interviewee I'm becoming right now. By the way, we may need to transcribe this later.
Is this not an interview?
No.
Okay.
Ish.
if we're going to transcribe this later, we need you in written word. It's going to seem confusing.
Well, that's fine.
No, so
I'm confused right now.
Right, so I
am too, because we've never transcribed anything.
I need you to start everything you say with your name and colon.
No, you don't do that.
No, you don't have to do that.
Right.
We've never transcribed any of our interviews. He's making all this up.
I'm gonna need a few more beers before my colon starts just transcribing anything.
How's your handwriting back there, by the way?
it's messy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like a.
No, say it. Go there.
No,
go
don't
there.
Have to.
You totally have to.
The crappier version of Chicken Scratch.
Nice. Aww. I like that.
Chicken Scratch.
I was going to say Chicken Shit. Nice.
What are the music acts are you looking forward to at the con? What other music acts are you looking forward to at the con?
Vehement Burn. I haven't seen them live yet. Listened to them online, but we've been chatting with them quite a bit here recently. Of course, our good friends Only Beast are playing it. I know Jealous Creatures are playing it.
Fun fact: my other show, the Rob Zip show I do, actually.
Thanks for that plug, Johnny.
Yeah,
I know. Is actually interviewing Only Beast tonight.
Excellent.
I thought it was called The Broken Frames.
It is. I completely forgot. It's the Rob Zip thing.
It's my other podcast, The Super Mario Brothers.
It's not really a podcast. It's just... Yeah, it's a video show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And if John Wayne is dead, I think Letters to Voltron.
Yes. Yeah. I was looking into them the other day.
I can't remember which one of his bands is playing it or if both of them are playing it. I can't recall.
I think both.
So
I didn't know it was the same guy, but both of those bands are listed.
Okay, yeah. Excellent.
Oh, yeah, they put on a great show. They're really funny. Yeah.
Yes,
good stuff.
Yes, entertaining to the max. So Vendetta Diabolique, of course, because that's my other band. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So you're playing twice?
Yes, in a row.
Nice.
We'll see.
we were talking.
Wait, which one's going first?
Vendetta Diabolique.
Okay.
So it's
hopefully
you're
not too tired.
Yeah, so.
You're opening for yourself?
I am opening for myself. How about that?
Is there a dichotomy within you that says, okay, this part of me has made it?
Up until this point, I hadn't actually thought of it like that. Okay. I was just kind of like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I've got to sing twice in a row, and
now,
I've never done that at a show.
Are your vocals a lot different between one band and the other?
The music is vastly different.
Okay.
My vocal style is slightly different.
Okay.
I'm a clean vocalist
and
melodic vocalist in both of them. But there is some difference in the delivery, I would say.
Okay.
So.
Cool. I can't wait to hear them both then. Yeah. It'll be fun. So now, when you guys are going to perform at this, like, what are you expecting the venue to be like?
I hope to find that out Saturday when I go.
Because awesome.
I have no idea where if we're playing on the third floor, second floor, the main floor, or anything. I know they've changed it in previous years, you know, where it's at. So the main floor would be really awesome, but if it's on the third floor, wherever, it's cool. We're just there to put on a show for whoever comes and have a great time.
We've done some guessing and theorizing on where everyone's performing to. Nobody seems to know yet.
Yeah.
So. I just hope if it's not on the first floor, I pray to Crom that there is an elevator. Because I don't want to have to lug this drum set up the stairs.
There is. Yeah. There is an elevator. I've seen one.
Would you consider
a functional elevator that we are allowed to use?
We're crossing our fingers on that one.
Would you consider, in lieu of a traditional drum set, a Dick Van Dyke style one-man band?
Oh, of course, yeah. I would love to see that. Yeah. I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do it, but I would love to see somebody pull that off.
I'd love to see him try. I'd love to see him do it, just to attempt it. That would be an act in itself.
Shout out to the cosplay community. Nobody's really tapped that resource yet.
No, they haven't.
The Mary Poppins thing, and that actually brought me to my next point.
Does it really?
It does. What drew you guys to Comic Palooza specifically?
I know being involved in and going the last couple years and modeling for RCC Creations at one of the previous other cons.
We're kind of friends of RCC.
Okay,
Creations.
I'm good friends with Rudy, and I've been body painted in by him numerous times.
Okay.
And that was my introduction into the, actually the con community. I always wanted to go and check him out. I had several friends that were into it, and I loved the whole cosplay and the costuming aspect and the role play aspect. But because of my job, I could never make it previously. So so starting last year, I wasn't able to work because of an injury, so I was able to go.
Yeah,
so absolutely. So I took advantage of that and started going and had a great time. And subsequently, in the last couple of years, I've built my own character of myself as the Doomstress, and so when I do go, I just cosplay as myself.
Yeah.
Because I've got my own unique costumes, and I get recognized there as the Doomstress, so...
And it comes pretty natural, too.
Yeah. So...
I was going to say, for anyone listening that, what's that face you're giving me?
It's inquisitive.
Okay. So, is anybody listening who she mentioned RCC Creations, he's the guy that was doing, if you know who Warlocks was last year, and we were at the unofficial after party for Comic Palooza, he's the guy doing the live painting stuff at Neil's last year.
I didn't make it to that one, actually.
He's an amazing artist.
Yeah, he's very good. Yeah.
So he took sixth last year in the World Body Painting Festival in Austria.
Oh, wow.
So, and he's competing again this year. So
he's on a TV show,
I believe? Yeah, Skin Wars. He's fixing to be on this season of Skin Wars, too. So.
Is that like a body art show, like tattooing and like
No,
painting?
No, it's just painting.
Okay.
And I think there's some like special effects costuming that might go involved with it slightly, but I think it's mostly about the painting and special effects with makeup and stuff. So
actually, I don't know much. I don't know anything about competitive body painting. Do they standardize the models so that everyone's on an even playing field? I don't mean to call ladies playing fields.
No, but
gentlemen can be models too.
Yeah,
men can be playing fields. I'm just saying, right?
Right?
Yeah. Cheers.
Right. Cheers. Yeah, there I am.
Hey, I'll get on that.
Right. Well, most competitive sports only have one ball.
Oh.
Oh.
Now we have to edit me.
Oh. Okay.
This is going downhill really quick.
Yeah, that's completely fine.
None of this answered my question.
What was the question?
Do they standardize the models?
No. It's every artist. You know, I can't speak for the TV show, but generally the artists and stuff just pick a model that they want to use. And if a model can go to an event or wherever they're going to try to work with them, then... And that's it. So.
Okay.
But I just think the model themselves are judged. It's the art that's created.
Well, no, I was going to say, don't ask me how I know this, but I know in a lot of the other, like, Project Runway and other related shows like that, the picking of the model is, like, part of it. Like, they randomize it sometimes, and whoever won a certain time gets to pick their model first. So it's kind of like they use it as a tool.
Yeah. My argument is that in a body painting competition, you would have an advantage if you had a contortionist.
Oh, depending on...
Because then you could do, like, mad fold-ins and stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm just...
A pop-out book?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's where a male model comes in, right?
Yes. Yes.
Boing, 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 boing.
This is my rendition of Galaga. Oh.
I'm gonna try to save us, if that's okay. I have a couple. I have four Armageddon related questions.
Okay.
All right.
He's like, yes.
Okay. In your ideal Armageddon scenario, what was the trigger event? A dark god, a man-made extinction, or someone tripped on the power cord? It's a relevant question.
Well, I mean. Personally, for the band, it would be somebody tripping on the power cord because then we just lost our show. So,
yeah.
Then
yeah, yeah.
Please
like
turn
that.
To page 77.
And I'm pretty sure at one point or another we've lost power at some point that or happens. One an amp did or something did. So, yeah, we've been doing it long enough where we've experienced several different...
I'm going to disagree. I got to see the dark guy because I got to see some of that shit he does.
Yeah. All right.
Do you have a particular one in mind?
The blackest of the black times infinity.
That was actually...
Yeah.
That was the title to Are You Afraid of the Dark episode, actually.
Mm. Nice.
Okay. Now, this is also Armageddon related, ish. Do you have any songs about Mad Max to piggyback off of the success of the movie franchise?
I'm sorry, what?
No, unfortunately, we haven't gone that far yet. But
not directly, but a lot of the lyrics in several of the songs depict, like, kind of a bleak landscape.
Right.
Mm-hmm. From,
like, Australia.
Like, post-apocalyptic.
that's where... okay.
Hold on, if we're getting into semi-Armageddon-related questions...
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Gun to your head, what's your go-to value menu item at Wendy's? It's semi.
Did you say...
No, it's not. How is that even...
It's kind of...
Did you say value item or volume item? Because I think that answered the question right there.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Yes. Next question.
Now, this one might...
You only get that on Fondren.
This one may or may not... You may not know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you guys are gamers at all. But first thing, when I think of, like, Armageddon type stuff, I think of the Fallout franchise.
Of course.
Video games. Yeah. So my next one was, have you guys ever thought about borrowing any content or sampling songs from the Fallout games?
No, but that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
If you're willing to fund it, we might be doing
that. Yeah, we learned that's expensive to do, but yes.
Hold okay. on. Just getting the sound effect for the action point computer. I don't play the game, but you know the
right,
you know this
Pit
entire
Boy.
Yeah,
Pit Boy.
You know this entire song is like while you're zeroing in on a 50% chance to shoot somebody in the head.
right. Okay, well, I've only got one more stupid question. All right, favorite type of Armageddon: zombie, nuclear wasteland, resources stripped by aliens type of stripped Earth, or biblical Armageddon.
Zombie.
Probably.
I like the zombie.
I actually think a zombie would be more fun. Mm. Yeah. You get to kill some shit before you get eaten.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can make a game out of it.
Right.
Yeah, you get to... You.
Well, we did LARPing recently, and the thing about it is that it's not like traditional hack and slash, because you're... In hack and slash games, you are objectively more powerful than all the baddies.
Right,
in zombie
right.
apocalypse, you expect to just be able to hit at least a few things.
Right.
Just for free.
Yeah.
Just... Give me a roofing hammer and I'll just go fucking crazy. Yeah.
Actually.
Wait, isn't that exactly what he used? And that's exactly.
That's what, excuse me, I'm sorry, I just don't remember his name. The black guy, the big black guy.
Yeah, Tyrese.
Tyrese uses
a
hammer.
That's exactly what he used as a roofing hammer to kill, like.
Is this the guy we know?
He uses it.
No, it's a
pretty efficient tool,
it's a
you know, because it's lightweight and it's aerodynamic and it. Good puncture and
it was
crush,
it was his
so.
Signature weapon more so in the comic book more than it was
okay.
On the show.
Okay, I haven't read the comics, unfortunately.
See, I want a bat chetty.
The bat chetty?
The bat chetty. You take a baseball bat, kind of
split
hollow out a line, and then you put a machete on one side, so you got a bat on one side and a machete on the other. It's a double.
Nice.
Weapon.
We actually have a buddy who works at Home Depot, and he's been looking closely at everything they sell there to see what the ultimate zombie killing item is. And it's this thing called a ditch hoe.
Okay.
A ditch hoe.
I saw one of those, like just.
Over on the side of 59 somewhere?
Yeah.
There was some overgrowth, so.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's just.
Montrose?
Think of a sickle.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Think of a naginata.
Okay.
Okay, but the blade is on the wrong side. So the blade is on the hooked end.
Okay.
And you use it to actually mow grass in a ditch, but those things are so sharp and so heavy that they could easily decapitate somebody.
Homes are nimble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you pass out free ditch hoes at the show?
Somebody supplies them, you know, as long as the venue doesn't object.
Well, there's some escort services around. Right.
Well, we should talk to Dagoroff and get some foam ones made. That'd be fun.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. That's the LARPing group he was talking about.
Either way, once again, for the people at home who may not have been exposed to you guys yet, not that you have to expose yourself to anybody, but...
It's optional.
If given enough beer, yes.
Okay.
I'm in the fetish scene, so I was on the St. Andrew's Cross at Numbers two weeks ago, and pretty much topless and pasties.
I thought you were going to say getting bullwhipped. I thought you were going to say I was in the city blotter. No, but no. First, where do people find your guys' stuff online?
ProjectArmageddon.com, Facebook Project Armageddon. You can always find me at Doomstress 2 if you just Google me or Google
Doomstress
Project Armageddon.
Doomstress the number 2?
Doomstress
also.
Just Doomstress.
Okay.
In addition Doomstress. To.
Okay. Yes.
You can find our music on CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes, all the major music retailers online. You'll be able to find us.
Cool. And once again, what night are you playing and what time at Comicpalooza?
We're playing Sunday, May 24th at 11 p.m. at Comicpalooza. That's the official time that I've been giving so far. And then after that, we have our CD release show, which is going to be at Numbers, June 13th. And then we are embarking on a two-week tour through the Northeast U.S. To take our new record, Cosmic Oblivion, on tour and play Maryland Doomfest.
Awesome.
And then heading back home.
Sweet.
Hold on, you looked as surprised as I was.
No, I was just going to say, I think... Sunday is a holiday night, so I don't think you have to go to work on Monday. So.
Yeah, because there's Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, yeah.
Yeah.
So no excuses.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. No excuses.
All right.
For shortened fuses, to quote Dead Horse.
There you go. Awesome.
All right, very cool. We can't wait to see you guys there. I know I'm going to be there. Is there a dress code?
For Comicpalooza?
No, for your show.
Oh, for our show? No?
No?
Come as you are. Come as you want to come. Whatever the venue, it's numbers, you know, cover your junk.
Make it legal.
But other than that, it's like, you know, we have a mixed show for our CD release show, so it's like, and, you know, people come right from work, all that stuff.
Black tie preferred.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
All right.
Denim and leather, there you go.
Once again, thank you guys so much.
Thanks for having us. So, of course. Great meeting y'all and talking to y'all.
Of course, and now I think it's time to say goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye. See you at Comicpalooza.
Flawless victory. Yeah, sorry we had to kill Project Armageddon, but...
They'll be back. They actually resurrect before each gig.
Because of the Horn of Valhalla?
Yeah.
Nice. Either way, something else I wanted to talk about, since we're actually running a little low on time now.
Hey, guys, I just got back from the bathroom. Did I miss the interview?
You did, actually. I can't believe you missed that shit. That was awesome.
I should have told you I was going away.
We all got $100,000 each.
Okay, I'm leaving this world at the end of this episode.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I was wondering when you were going to volunteer that.
There's nothing for me now. There's nothing for me now.
Okay, so because we have to skip everything else we were going to talk about, we can't talk about Steambox V8, we can't talk about Star Wars Teens, we can't talk about E3.
No, we can at least say a couple words. Steambox is pointless, don't worry about it. Next, what was the other one?
Assassin's Creed.
Don't worry about it. The annual stuff, they're dropping in quality.
Oh, but no, hold on, wait.
What?
This is going to be a odd-numbered one. No, this is going to be an even-numbered one.
They stopped numbering them.
Huh? Yeah, but it is the even-numbered one.
Oh, okay.
That's important.
So Black Flag was 4?
Yes.
4 numbered, yes.
And this one will be 5?
No.
No, because we had Unity.
Yeah, this will be 6.
Okay, Unity is 5, then this is 6.
Yeah,
okay.
Classically, the even-numbered ones are the best.
Oh.
And I can vouch for that because I have played an even-numbered one and an odd-numbered one. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. I've done both as a Let's Play, and it's difficult to gauge an experience from a Let's Play. Generally, I dislike all the games I play in a Let's Play. I dislike the gaming experience. I've gone back and enjoyed them. Black Flag, literally enjoyed while Let's Playing it.
It's incredible. That game is incredible. Now I'll say this. This is my last point on this issue since we were pressed for time, is that I do anticipate this game being better than Unity. I just don't expect it to be...
Unity! Great.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Alright.
Any predictions? What's it called? Syndicate?
Syndicate.
Just
codename Victory.
People
thought it was going to be named
Syndicate.
Victory.
So it's Assassin's Creed 6, Syndicate, codename Victory, # Phantom Blades.
No, the codename was just...
The Return.
I don't know if it was an actual codename or if it was just... Everybody anticipated it being called Victory for some reason. I don't know why.
There's probably some internal document leaks. Something like that.
Jason, you may be able to help us out with this one.
Mm-hmm.
This one's going to be set in Victorian London, and almost every single Assassin's Creed has had a backdrop of some historical strife. What was going on in Victorian England where lots of people were dying?
Well, there's...
Overworking?
So he's gonna be skulking through the workhouses, taking out Oliver Twist.
Yes. That's actually a good point about that, because they're in the height of the Industrial Revolution at this point. And if you recall the early days of the Industrial Revolution, there was not a lot of regulation. In fact, there was
almost none.
There was none. That was actually kind of a high point, and a lot of that rhetoric has come back today.
That's a real high note for society.
Yes. So there's actually, you know, there's people being abused in work in their employment. I mean, and you've heard all the stories about, you know, they get little kids because their hands are little and they can reach into the machinery, that kind of sort of thing.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that may be an interrogation method where you take a child and you put his hands into machinery.
I actually have an important question. Jason.
Yeah.
What are we drinking?
What are we drinking? Did we wait this long to say this? Okay, I just want to make sure you get the good sound for the mic here.
Good.
We're classic. Drinking, it turned the wrong way. Real Ales, Real Heavy.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take issue with that grammar there. It's really heavy.
Yeah, but this, I drank one of these.
I'm not like a 70s rocker. It's really heavy, man.
The real, it's that was actually, that was a lot of, that was, Back to the Future. Marty said that. Yeah. Yes. Everything's real heavy in the future, remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
Has something happened to the Earth's gravitational pull, Marty?
Yeah, exactly. But this is a good
beer.
That's
like the worst Doc Brown impression.
Sorry.
Has
something happened to the world's gravitational force, Batman.
Great Scott!
Speaking of, me and Jenkins have planned on, and we never done it, we wanted to go as Marty and Doc to the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Anyway, but this beer is great. I've had it before. It's a Scotch ale. It's got some smoked malt in it.
That's what that was.
Is it a little bit of it?
You know me, if I bring something smoked.
Yeah. I had this actually on the other show that I do with Rob Zip, and then... but this is actually really good. I did a more in-depth analysis of it then, but...
Johnny Dim!
I don't want to get into it.
It is certainly yummy.
It is very good.
On a scale of 1 to William Wallace.
I don't know very many other Scottish revolutionaries. I'm going to just say 7.5.
Incorrect. Edge of Blade.
What?
Scale of 1 to William Wallace.
Let's see. I give it a Marie Antoinette.
Acceptable. And a very high mark for the beer.
Yes.
Good. Awesome. All right.
I feel like I should have burned a witch at the stake for the smoked malt.
That's standard practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's magically delicious.
How long have we been podcasting?
we're doing top three next.
We're going to do the top three regardless.
We don't have another interview, do we?
No.
Okay, good.
No one else is planning on showing up?
I hope not.
Top three! Top three.
Top three.
This
top three. Quite.
This week's top three is top three things you would like to be included at Comicpalooza that are not currently included. Okay? The top three things that you would like to add to Comicpalooza in order to enhance it. And one of the rules that Edge of Blade actually suggested was... you do not have to take into consideration the consequences of including it. Budget, whether or not it's not necessarily comic themed, we do not care.
Yeah,
you're damage to timeline, mm-hmm. Subspace damage.
Whether or not you will wind up doing the nasty and the pasty.
Right. That's no consequences.
All right, Edge of Blade.
Well, I mean. I'm a big fan of the gaming components of, you know, any con I go to. It's the main reason I go to any con. So I actually prefer if they would adopt something like... So the Penny Arcade Expo has their Omegathon, which was very exciting. And as a side note, I got to participate 1 year. But...
He lost a Kerplunk.
Yeah. I bite out of the first round and I lost on fucking Kerplunk.
You can't step up your Kerplunk game.
I lost on a game that says for ages 12 and under.
Wait, Kerplunk, we're talking about dropping a disc down a board.
No, it's Plinko.
Oh,
Kerplunk is where you have the marbles and you got all the sticks holding them up.
Yes, I lost it. I lost at that.
If he was going to bring up that he was a Meganaut, I was going to talk about how he lost.
Okay. Yeah. It's a kind of a running joke with these guys and most of my friends that I just don't stop talking about this. So, you know, this is therapy for me. This is my group therapy.
With Dr. Banner.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I don't know what that is. So
okay.
I can
okay.
comment on it.
Yeah, the Omegathon is an anything goes tournament, elimination tournament.
Anything goes.
Yes. So, and I don't know how it works in your dimension, but in ours, it the person who wins at the end gets a trip to whatever, you know, gaming convention is really hot. It's coming up next. For
oh, so it's not their choice.
No, not for their
choice.
You
can't go to E3 Japan. Or E3 Tokyo.
Well, that's the Tokyo
basically,
Game Show.
Basically, no. Wait a second.
The Tokyo Game Show is this thing called Hachi Hachi, where you answer trivia questions, and if you're wrong, they actually remove one of your children's teeth.
Anyway, continue.
Right. Yes. the prize for Penny Arcade Expo Prime in Seattle is a trip to Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah.
Oh, I was right.
Yes.
Yeah, you were. Sure.
You were about as close as you get.
Yes.
And then the other ones like is Gamescom in Gamescom in Germany, and then the one for South is a trip to PAX Prime.
Okay.
I believe that's what it was.
I was going to guess.
But each time it's all expenses paid. So
right.
Whether you're going to Japan, all expenses paid. To Germany, all expenses paid.
Right.
Or to Seattle for Penny Arcade Expo Prime.
Yeah, right.
Which would be a great prize on its own, even.
Right.
Does Tom Hanks regularly show up to the Seattle?
No, but have you guys played? It was the game made by the guys who made Castle Crashers. It was fairly recent.
Alien Hominid.
No, you're going the wrong direction. More recent, not less recent.
Then I have no idea.
Oh God, I need the name of this. I need the name of this game. Give me a second.
Halo 5.
Well, no.
Well,
no. It was kind of an arena battler kind of game with unique rule sets. All right, let's see, cross-referencing Castle Crashers. Crash was made by whom?
So
who
now we're doing
Castle
Let's
Crashers?
Search!
Again.
Let's search.
Get Jason's phone and sit in a computer chair and wobble left and right.
That's my searching icon.
Nice.
Ding 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 ding. This is my beach ball. Ding 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 ding.
Dun 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 dun.
The Behemoth. The company is called The Behemoth.
The Behemoth.
The Behemoth. And they made a game called Alien Hominid, and then they made a game called
Castle Crashers.
Battle Block Theater.
Oh,
I
know the
same
guys. I
have that game.
I didn't know it was the same company.
Well, yeah, well, I hope you guys were. No, they played Battle Block Theater as one of the rounds.
Okay.
But do you remember much about playing that?
I know it's a co-op puzzle platformer.
Okay.
You got to jump on each other's heads, help each other over ledges because they're not tall enough, things
right.
like that.
But there's also like a competitive mode where you can go 2-on-2 to like control a hill or something like that. But it's all, you know, the same kind of side-scrolling, chaotic kind of. They got the guy who did the announcing.
Stamper.
What?
Stamper.
Stamper?
You talking about the guy who does the intro?
Yes. They got him to go narrate the round as the Omeganauts were playing.
That's crazy.
Now, from time to time, they come up with really cool things like that. They also come up with a final round every time that is 100% secret. One year, they did... I have to tell this. This is a legendary story among the Omeganauts.
It's like your second tributary to this one
yes,
junior top three.
I'll make it quick. That year, they had Spy Party.
Yeah.
And one of the things about Spy Party is if you're playing the person who's supposed to be doing the tasks, you can let the computer just take over, and they'll just randomly walk you around as an NPC. But then you have to choose when to take over and start completing tasks. The last round, the guy who was playing the operative just let the computer go. He totally bluffed. And the sniper decided still to take a shot. He went with the odds, and he won.
Nice.
Wow.
That was the final round. Balls of steel.
Okay, do you have a number two?
Do I have a number two?
Yes. It's in the toilet.
Oh, all right.
All right. We're going on to my number three, but just because you said that. I don't know if I have a number three. Jeez. You know, one thing I'd like to see, I know that they have a, they have an arcade room there.
Mm-hmm.
Was this new version, this new Star Wars arcade game. Like, back in the day, they had...
It's a big deal.
Let me set it up. Yeah. The big arcade game for Star Wars back in the day was the Star Wars Trilogy Arcade.
Yes.
Which was tons of fun. Lots of, you know, starship battles, speeder bikes, and the lightsaber duels. The lightsaber duels were really cool.
Yes.
Now they've come up with something entirely new called Battle Pod, which is a game that's projected on to a parabolic screen.
Yes.
And so it is super immersive, and I want one in my home.
Yeah, this is a big deal when it first came out, and people are, they'll go on social media and all kind of stuff when they see one. And I know there's a couple in Houston at least.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
There's one at AMC 30, which is down south. And then I heard there was one at I think they said Dave & Buster's, I think.
Dave & Buster's? I know where that is.
No, all right. Well, we lost him.
Guess we'll buy.
All right, so does that complete your list?
Yes, that's my list.
Okay.
So Omega Knot, Star Wars, and Duty. Got it.
Yep. Who's next, Zach?
I'm Snacknanimous.
You're Snacknanimous, munching on some nuts?
All right. I'll go next.
He's got a list on paper, if you can't tell.
Okay, top three things that I would like
to see.
You could
have gotten more quickly paper, you know.
Comic Palooza. First, no joke. I think I would like this, especially if they blocked it off for like specific age groups at specific times, or had one for specific age groups and then another one for a different age
because
group.
Because you want porn at the convention.
You want hentai night.
Bouncy houses.
Oh.
Moonwalks.
Oh.
Yeah. Just have a moonwalk in there. And you get to jump around, and it would make the costume contest much more interesting.
This is the part where we insert a sound effect of a record scratching.
Oh, I was thinking maybe a spring being boing.
Boing.
I was talking about capes.
Oh.
Never and flying poses, oh. Nevertheless.
This okay. Top three list brought to you by the Boeing Corporation.
Well, no, actually, I think what would even be better is they actually had like the super trampolines, the ones that go really high.
Yeah, or something. Something.
Yeah. Just a bunch of crash pads around.
Are you talking about like the elastics assisted?
No.
Because
well,
I used to love
those. Although, that would be cool too.
That would be cool. No, the ones that like they have professional trampoliners. They use those.
Yeah.
Oh, those. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Like Olympic sized trampoline.
Yes.
I can't believe we're saying these days Olympic sized trampoline.
It's weird.
That sounds like they're cheating.
Yeah.
Next, we're gonna say Olympic sized bed.
One of those.
I would watch that.
Wait, what? All right, go ahead.
Those Greeks take the gold every year in napping. That was a little bit. I'm sorry, Greek. If we have Greece, if we have any Greek fans, I just want to know that. Let you know, I love you. I am a patron of all the Greek restaurants around my home.
Yeah, but they don't have any jobs in Greece, so they're napping a lot.
You have to forgive him. He's very critical.
Isa Vey. Second thing, this is more of a general note than a specific thing I want there. It seems that When you go to a convention, especially something like Comic-Palooza, Comic-Con, etc., it's mostly just a shopping mall for nerdy stuff that you can't get everywhere else.
I cannot get a tentacle kitty in every Hot Topic.
Exactly. So usually it's down to tabletop gaming or panels, and that's all you get. So as a general note, I would say just more interaction. Okay, just if you're going to sell me something, have a demo ready to go. If you've got action figures, have a few out of the box that I can, you know, play around with and stuff like that.
You're touching appropriately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Robin, circa 85.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then last one, this is something I know I've been harping on it a lot lately, but I absolutely love it. I don't know if I've talked about it on the show. Ultimate Air Dogs.
You mentioned this yesterday.
I imagine flying sausages.
No, they're toys up in the air to get the dogs to leap, but what they do is the dogs, they run off of, like, a makeshift pier into a body of water, and it's a competition to see which dog can go the furthest.
But you want actual dogs to do this at the convention?
I want Ultimate Air Dogs to show up and do their and like do a show.
Okay.
What's not great about that?
I think it'd be funnier if you had the people in the cosplay
cosplay air dogs.
No, not the dogs, but yeah.
Because now I'm imagining like a Superman dog jumping off of a pier.
Fine. Yeah, like no Air Bud with a cape. No dogs, just costumes. Shoot them out of a can.
There you go.
Maybe a Hulk corgi. No.
I think Jay's in another room and she heard that.
Is she really?
I think so. All right, Johnny Dim, top three.
Top three. More free stuff. Just in
swag
general.
Bags.
I love swag bags. I love getting crap. And I think more booths should put up like a Wheel of Fortune wheel, and you can just win random crap.
That's true. The Ren Faire did that, and that was actually pretty successful. There's a long line for the Ren Faire thing.
I like what we did at the Warlocks booth. That we played a game of Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
And whoever won that won one of the Warlocks
impromptu
classes.
Card games that you can win stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. There was interaction. There was more prizes, and there was Ultimate Air Dogs.
Yeah. What?
Up here.
Oh, in your head. Okay. Number two. I want a bunch of gaming tournaments. Like, they had the arcade and stuff, but I would love to have them set up, you know, put a projector in the arcade room. Usually arcades are pretty dark, right? Lower the lights, throw a projector on the wall, do some Mortal Kombat, some Street Fighter, some DOA, whatever. Just do scheduled tournaments throughout the day, every day, and let people win stuff.
I've got a question for you. At one point at PAX, they started bringing in League of Legends to do like regional events.
Uh-huh.
They do like their regional finals there. And that brought in a whole lot of people who are just League of Legends.
Yes.
Now, what do you think would happen to Comic Palooza if someone said, hey, we want to bring in a major fighting game tournament into Comic Palooza, making it one of those officially sanctioned events?
I think that's going too far, because I think that takes away from the main thing. If you don't make it a like one of the major focuses... Like, in that case, that's a huge focus. That's like a regional or national championship. I don't want to go that big. I'm just talking about impromptu tournaments.
So maybe not announce. Maybe announce the genre. So
right.
Yeah, I play a lot of fighting games. I'll enter the fighting game.
Yeah, and do retro fighting games, too.
So what you're saying is that you would like to see more amateur tournaments. You wouldn't really want to take it into the pro realm.
Right. And if you are going to do any pro, it'd be very minor level. And maybe the winner of a tournament that lasts 2 or 3 days, like, because you can do, you know, qualifiers for a tournament that's on Monday or Sunday, and maybe do something like, oh yeah, you get a free trip to the regionals in this area or something like that.
To the Punch Cave.
The Punch Cave.
It's all themed after the game that you played. And just Richard Lanius and David Martin just get to kick the crap out of you.
See, if you did this, I just want there to be a dive kick tournament, because I would so be there.
Yes, dive kick is a wonderful game. My number one, I want... Fandom competition. Excuse me, let me say that again. Fandom competitions. And what I mean by that is I want, like, for example, I want a bunch of people cosplaying as Star Trek characters who are super fans of Star Trek to do laser tag against people that are Star Wars fans or cosplaying as Star Wars
Ooh.
Characters.
I think we need to merge our Omegathon and fandom ideas together.
Exactly.
The fandom nominates their champion.
Exactly. I think that would get people like really interested in it. Not just the people participating, but the spectators would get a kick out of that.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I think and last year they had a laser tag set up. I don't know if you remember that.
So the Battlefield Houston guys?
Yes, which is an amazing laser tag place, and you should go to their laser tag place that's in
And
Houston.
They're not even paying us
they're
to
not,
say
yeah,
that.
I'm absolutely not being paid. I've been twice. That place is amazing.
You've been paid twice?
No, not paid currently.
I want to see more behind the scenes of those guys.
Yeah.
And it's not the focus of this right now, but I want to see behind the scenes. I want to see the engineering that goes into all these systems these guys put together, because they
are
fucking
brilliant. Oh, you'd have an
absolute brilliant.
You'd have a nerdgasm going on.
Oh, I already have.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, we need to make a Warlocks field trip of that. We tried to do a like a Let's Play of it. Jason, we actually bought a camera that fits on these glasses.
But it was just too damn dark.
It's way too dark. We had a lot of trouble doing that.
I would say if we are going to pick our champions, at least if we do this within the next 10 years, we need to be careful about which fandoms we put together, because I have a feeling that if we have William Shatner going up against Stan Lee, this isn't a dig on Shatner, but he's an actor. So Stan Lee was actually in the military.
Yeah.
So he might come up to, I've never fired a laser, and then he's just got a replica of Mjolnir's Excelsior. We lose an icon.
That would be a good way to go. I'm gonna put that out there. Yeah, but there's I can see also like maybe Lord of the Rings versus Harry Potter. Like that could
be interesting. Yeah.
And there's always the Harry Potter people there because they have Quidditch matches.
My elves are taller than your elves.
But that's my top three.
Okay. Well, once again, if you're curious about a few more things that are going to be happening at Comic Palooza, we are going to have an official Comic Palooza pre-recorded commercial going on here in just a second or two. I hope you all enjoy the new Earth that we're living in now. It's where we're going to stick, and this does bring Death of Dim to a close. And now I think it's time to say...
Nope.
What?
Nope. One thing I forgot to mention, since we're still on the Comic Palooza thing, please come by the podcasting table Saturday between 4 and 5 p.m. We will be doing a live recording, and you should come check us out. And there will be some giveaways. I promise you that. During that recording.
Okay, now I think it's time to say goodbye, everybody!
Yeah, goodbye, everybody.
Adios.
Hello.
I had a YouTube video going, and I thought...
Oh, right, okay.
Hold on, I have to find a way to stop this. Sorry, I thought, Dan, you were singing me the State Farm song.
Right, okay. Don't know what the State Farm song is.
Comic Palooza 2015 is almost here. You'll see your favorite celebrities, comic book creators, and authors. Hear super cool musical acts. Experience crazed cosplay events, rowdy professional wrestlers, raucous roller derby girls, literally thousands of hours of programming, and so much more. Remember, Comic Palooza at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas, Memorial Day weekend, May 22nd to 25th. Get your passes today. Head over to www.comicpalooza.com for all the details.